Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight for a review of the news and this amazing aesthetics of the devil that Joe Biden chose for his speech, Soul of the Union, or whatever you would call it. People have been comparing the theater to previous Hitler positioning and Hitler speeches. It is the message that is being sent by Joe Biden and most likely by the people who try to control the image of Joe Biden. We're going to make it rough for our opponent. We are at war against the Republicans. Silver Spider says, portal to hell. This doesn't sound good at all. I made a little joke with the title because, I mean, just tell me, like, if your president was to open up a portal to hell, I mean, this is exactly the decor I would expect. So sometimes the news, the real news, lends itself to such parodic interpretation. I mean, this is exactly the decor I would want if I was opening a portal to hell. And people have been comparing the performance to Adolf Hitler and the Nazi party. But it is deeply what Joe Biden is launching as a signal that there is a kind of civil war in America. And if you don't vote Democrat, it's going to break democracy. If you don't vote Democrat, you don't believe in democracy, which is very bizarre. There's something twisted in this logic, that to vote for Trump would be to combat democracy. When in fact, the whole idea of voting is choosing the person. Trump is not president today, and he's not been voted for. Biden is president because you voted for him. This is all democracy in action. And so to sell the idea that democracy is under attack right now, when in fact all we have is the possibility that Trump would present himself to a Democratic election in 2 years from now. It's a desperate attempt by the Democrat Party to bring back the kind of heat that has motivated a lot of people to check the checkbox Joe Biden. Because they check this checkbox mostly out of exhaustion from how the nation was under Trump. And how the nation was a bunch of triggered leftists annoying people on an everyday basis in the media about what Trump has said, what Trump has tweeted, what Trump has done. People are saying, did he backpedal? Well, today, because in the speech, he is saying the MAGA Republicans are the enemy of democracy. Let me read some excerpts here. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards, Biden said during the speech referencing Trump's Make America Great Again slogan. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundation of our republic. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of the law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. So he went as if he was basically talking about a terrorist subcell of the Republican Party. He did backpedal to a certain extent today in answering questions by the media. It was like, no, I'm not saying that anyone who supports Trump or anyone who votes Republican is an extremist. I'm talking about the MAGA Republicans. Now, you can define that however you like. And there are memes emerging on the internet because, of course, the center-right is reacting to this by basically falling for the trap, because it's a trap. It's the trap of, go ahead, call me a fascist. Dave Portnoy demolishes Biden's speech in video rant. He looked like Hitler. The thing is, this is the example of a leftist victory. How when you are able to get your opponent, to get Republicans and so-called Republican outlets like Fox News, if you can get them to implicitly agree with your premise, which is that white supremacy is everywhere, Hitler is evil, and fascism is bad, and white people are bad, you have scored a kind of subconscious point here. The same way, you know, how the left is pressuring, is going to accuse you of being a racist just so they can see you deny and kneel and say, no, I'm not a racist. No. Do you have any idea how many black friends I have? And by doing so, by just apologizing, by just denying, by just rectifying, you've already subscribed to certain presumptions, political presumptions of the left. You've subscribed to the presumption that there is a problem with having racial preferences, that you do have to have black friends if you don't want to be accused of racism, etc., etc. So I think it's not a very good strategy to be going Hitler comparison, simply because it is what the left wants to see you doing. They want to see the right de-united. They want to combat the unite the right. They want to combat the idea of a unified right that says, yes, we're tired enough, we're going to vote for Donald Trump. And they do so by taking bigger and bigger chunks of the right and saying, you have to disavow these people. And now the bigger chunk of the right to disavow is basically strong Trump supporters with a red MAGA hat. This is extremism now. So, and they've been censoring these people, they've been dehumanizing these people, and yes, the speech of Biden was very dehumanizing. It was like an enemy within. Silver Spider, go away, was saying, JF, I'm no fan of Biden, but I have respect for power, and this speech made me see Biden in a new light. I will be voting for the Dems in the midterms. Oh my God, we have a Richard Spencer alike here. Sees power, votes for it. Silver Spider says, JF, did you ever see the Louder with Crowder skit where the girl finds out her white boyfriend is a racist and breaks up with him? After that, I stopped watching him entirely. I haven't seen the skit. Is it a skit? No, I don't watch skits at all, basically, but if you want to send me a link, I could try to watch it. Meanwhile, the aesthetics was so Hitlerian that even CNN decided that they had to color shift Biden's hell red rant mid-speech. So this is before at CNN and after. They have made it pinkish when in fact it was red. At 2x speed, you can see the switch on the CNN feed. In disagreement and debate and dissent. We're a big, complicated country. I don't know if it's at the camera level or maybe in the editing house or whatever, but someone decided, hey, this is way too red. But democracy endures. Let's color correct just slowly and boom. We end up with pink, and now it's suddenly... you suddenly look like a fundraiser for a breast cancer kind of march or whatever. Spindly Opinion says, women are most affected by propaganda. If told to be racist, women would become the most racist. I don't know. There may be some truth. There may be some truth. The behavior of women may be more plastic and more malleable. Less of a leader, less of a I do my own stuff, I go my own way type of attitude, perhaps. Meanwhile, by the way, there are major news today. Putin has totally stopped Nord Stream 1 on the excuse that they have found a leak. And they were like, oh my God, there's a leak. We cannot continue delivering gas to Europe. So that means a massive arrival of gas to Europe just shut down. And exactly in the month where it starts to be colder, September, I think it must be intentional. As Zero Hedge was speculating, it's probably something that was planned, and the leak is an excuse. But this is Putin using his gas option, as I had pointed out. He had the option of doing this. I was like, either he could do it now and surprise them, or he could wait for the winter and do it when it hits the hardest. And it seems that he has used the strategy of waiting for the winter, which is particularly cruel and particularly innovative. I like it. The idea of hitting European population the hardest when potentially their lives are at stake, and the people will start complaining now, because this will inevitably result in energy cost getting higher and people not being able to heat during the winter. I don't know that the gas that he's delivering were used directly as heaters, but in any way, there will be a flow where energy is rarer, energy is more costly for everyone, and inevitably it will result in electricity cost rising. Bird Flu C. Williams sends a super chat. He says, "JF, do you still write rhymes?" I haven't explicitly written rhymes since my G-Man victory. I think I'm sitting on street creds that I have acquired, and there's no reason, therefore. I'd rather take my retirement from the rapping career in full glory rather than write lower and lower quality stuff. I wrote my one hip-hop song, and I stand on it. No, I haven't written rhymes. LBRT sends some LBC. Thank you so much. Yeah, I do need some LBCs, because I'm running dry on my channel, and I do have to spend 2 LBC every night, which is like 6 cents, but I do have to spend 2 LBC or 5 LBC to start the stream. So send me your LBCs tonight. It's not that I cannot have LBC, because I actually have something like 30,000 LBC locked in. But they are locked in. I have to remove them from my videos to use them. But I do like to have loose LBC of everyone. That way I can do my stream every night without unlocking the past one. Dead Star sends $1. He says, is it better for us to call ourselves white or European American? I don't like the European American thing. I understand that in parallel to the African American, it makes sense. It is the perfect parallel. Like, you are genetically African, but you live in America. You are genetically European, but you live in America. But the fact is that the term African American stemmed from a desire to say I'm not African. So it was a distinguisher that was revendicated and claimed that black people wanted. They didn't want to be called just African, because there was to them a massive difference between themselves and the Africans. So that's where African Americans come from. It is a revendication of, hey, don't put me in the same pool as Africans. I don't live in Africa. So it's like, okay, you're an African American then. Now, the problem is that the equivalent has not happened with white populations. I don't see white people in America being ashamed of their ancestry or thinking that they somehow need to be distinguished from Europe. Perhaps there was some drive to this with the Freedom Fries moment and that kind of stuff. Instead of calling them French fries, call them Freedom Fries. But I have never felt a desire to obfuscate the common category that we are part of with Europeans. I don't like Europeans all that much. I think they're a bunch of communists. and I wouldn't live in Europe, but I have no issue with the fact that I come from these people, you know. In a way, Americans are the cream in terms of liberty seeking from Europe, because if you had to cross the Atlantic at a time where it was dangerous, at a time when it was costly, if you had to do this crossing, you had to be in search of some amount of liberty. So I do not like European Americans. White is also incomplete, although I use it often. I think it's fine. But white comes very much as a American thing. And then when you get into the weeds of who's white, are Muslims white, are Arabs white, you get into that kind of complication. Whereas I think European, just European, I really like it. That's why if I speak genetically, I will generally talk of the group as European. LBRT sends 100 LBC. Well, thank you so much. That's about 50 days of stream that you just covered for me. I really enjoy, because then I don't have to go unlock them, and they keep generating views, and they keep keeping my videos up on Odyssey, because I was thinking about the number of terabytes that Odyssey must have to keep all these videos up. It's quite amazing that they're doing a good job at keeping old videos and not having a problem with it at all. Silver Spider says, I looked up the Crowder clip. It seems to be taken down. Ironically, it was about a white guy admitting he thinks he is superior to other races, and his girlfriend saying, I think I'm gonna be sick, etc. YouTube didn't even get that it was pandering to anti-racism. Okay, well, so it is. Today, someone contacted me in the morning and said, Jeff, I'm a PhD student. I would like to talk to you about the revolutionary phenotype because it's directly related to my research area. I was super enthusiastic, but then I get in the discussion. The guy has only read 25% of the book. Why do I have to face this? I mean, respect to the guy, I don't want to smash on him, but why can't I have an intelligent discussion with anyone who understands my scientific theory? It's like there's just you guys in the audience who do. I really appreciate it. And Padam, you know, who I can discuss with on the Discord, and we've been discussing today with another guy also who seemed to know what he was talking about. But it's so annoying to have people who want to, they want a private conversation, and then they don't bring anything interesting. They don't even understand. And they're just like asking the most basic questions that if only you had read the book, you would have the answer to this. And if only you had watched the shows, you would have the answer to this. So very disappointing discussion, which started good because I was like, oh my God, maybe you know, a young guy rising in science, maybe he's gonna have some angle on TRP that I've never heard. But no, all I had was, so who has accepted TRP? Have you been showing it to big scientists? What have they said? So you're against genetic modification? At some point, I ended up yelling at the guy because it's like, holy shit, bro. Are you even connected to the world? Dino Logovich says 138 pages in large print. Yeah, it's the shortest book ever to lay out a scientific theory. It's 140 pages. You can read it in an afternoon. I feel like I live among apes. Disclose.tv says detailed inventory list of materials seized at FBI Trump raid unsealed. The majority of items appeared to be unclassified government documents, magazines, newspapers, books, photos, and press articles. It's quite fascinating. What we find is that he had boxes that were basically ready to be seized with confidential written on it and top secret written on it, but they were just the folders. And inside there were magazines. Now, I'm starting to think, is it possible that Trump knew this was coming? And he basically stuffed his, he had his staff, or he did it himself, maybe, stuff his boxes with things that would be apparently top secret, but then you open up and all you have is a bunch of magazines. I don't know. But it looks like a very little portion of what was seized was top secret, as was claimed by the FBI and the CNN. A Trump lawyer claims she diligently searched Mar-a-Lago in May, days before DOJ subpoenaed Trump. So basically, there's a Trump lawyer. She went through all of Mar-a-Lago. She was looking for documents that would be answering the subpoena of a New York state court in relation to Trump's businesses. And this is 1 month, ultimately about 1 month before the raid happened on Trump. I'm wondering if it could be that during this search, either this lawyer or an employee of Trump would have alerted the FBI and said, hey, we've been searching through Trump documents. There is a lot of top secret documents in there. Is it the link here? This story is very bizarre. It's in relation. It would be very bizarre for an attorney to report her own client to the FBI. It's possible, but it would be very weird, especially when, you know, we're not talking about here like a case of murder. We are talking, the attorney normally has a responsibility to protect information about her client that would be disadvantageous to them in court. At the same time, you can have attorneys reporting to the police when they feel that they have been kind of included. Maybe that there is a future crime to happen, that the person may be dangerous at the moment. So I don't know. Is it possible that Alina Habba would have reported to the FBI, and that's why 1 month after her search of Mar-a-Lago, you would have the FBI making a raid? Or is it possible that our search triggered the attention of some other employee of Trump who decided to betray Trump and write to the FBI? It looks like certainly the fact that these folders were written as top secret may have caused the raid. LBRT sends 11LBC, thank you so much. He says, if Odyssey does things right, they could enable peer-to-peer seeding for files. Seeders would be compensated. If the incentives are right, it really could cheapen hosting and increase speeds, all the while decentralizing the platform further. Yes, and I'm surprised they haven't done so yet. Because it seems to me that we are in the era of torrents, and I think that the take on torrents of having a forum that hosts the torrent file and you click on the torrent file and it's a whole separate software, I think this needs modernizing. And one way it could be modernized is to create an actual market for disk space, a collective market for disk space. It seems that an environment like the LBC blockchain, the library blockchain, is perfect to enable something like this, where basically we know that there's plenty of hard drives around the world that are not being used. We know that everyone is hanging out with some free space on their drive. You could dedicate some of that free space to a market, and basically creators like me would come to Odyssey, say, okay, what's the current price for a gig of space? Because a gig of space hosts one show of JFG Tonight, approximately. Sometimes it may be 2 gigs. So what's the market? And there I could have someone who can host it for 2 cents a year. And perhaps I could have 20 people host copies of it. And whenever there's one or two or three of these computers that get off the internet, then you're at 17. Then the system would find automatically three other computers who would be ready to host it. So you would have always 20 copies of any video running around the internet. And that would be a reliable system for storage. Collective solutions of that kind have been developed again and again, and somehow I haven't taken off. I suspect that mixing it with Odyssey, with video hosting, with library rewards, that might be what was missing, because I had founded a lot of hopes in a network called Omemo, which was supposed to be a collective hosting network, a collective hard drive, basically. But somehow, and it was a collective hard drive that you were interacting with through some kind of onion routing interface. So that it was kind of anonymized to a certain extent. But I've not seen it rise to major use. I don't know why. I don't know why Omemo failed. Silver Spiders and Stenbox, thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, I was watching the sitcom The Big Bang Theory recently for the first time. I was wondering if you've seen it, and if so, what do you think of the actor's representation of PhD-level characters and geniuses? I think it's great. I've been watching it back in the days, and it was totally how I would behave in the lab. Like, Sheldon is totally my style of guy, and I was happy when I saw The Big Bang Theory rise, that we were having, finally, a Sheldon-type personality illustrated on the internet. So, yes, I think it's a fair representation of what can be. But let me tell you, I've been hanging in academia for 12 years, and I've never met someone exactly like me. I've never met someone as autistic as me. So you have to be careful. It's really not a majority of the academic sphere that is as autistic as Sheldon. In fact, as far as I know, there was just me that was like this. Like, really, really autistic, kind of psychopathic pursuit of research. And absolute carelessness for social norms. Normally, in fact, the academia selects for extremely agreeable, these days at least, extremely agreeable sheeps, people who are willing to follow orders. DK Shadow says there's the IPFS, Interplanetary File System, yes. I've heard about this. Maybe it was you who talked to me about it on another show. There's IPFS, but I don't see it being widely used. I don't know. Maybe it is. Lappytop says, I have some issues with the TRP in regards to the next possible revolution. I don't really see how the computers become queens, analogous to queens in biological beings. Will there be the same kind of process of selection if the different gene centers / computers cooperate? There won't be the same competition that queens or, say, ants compete against each other. If there is just a few centers, there won't be the same level of competition that drives the selection process. When I try to explain the theory to myself or others, I always stumble on this aspect of TRP. Yes, there will be multiple ways. There will be, I mean, just look at hospitals right now. There are different hospitals, and there are clinics, and there are hospitals, and you can get different services, and you can get different approaches if you get in these different hospitals with a different culture of healthcare. The same will be true of genetic modification, and especially since there is not a single solution to improving humanity. You're going to have people who are extremely aggressive on the modifications. You're going to have other places that are less aggressive. And you're going to have choice, certainly. What do you think that the same genetic modifications will be done in India and US? No, of course. And even if you had the same knowledge driving all of these companies, there would ultimately be a bunch of genetic modifications that are good with Europeans, but they're not good in India. So just because of the variability in the world, I wouldn't expect the same genetic modification to be applied everywhere. And out of this variability, you will have a difference of selection and performance, and you will have a something to select from. I don't see how it's only in your head that you could have a homogeneous modification of 6 billion, 7 billion humans. Of course, it won't converge toward the same. Of course, parents will be attracted to different types of modifications, and different societies will value different types of modifications differently. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, which person of color actor would play you in the Netflix adaptation of Big Bang Theory? Would need to find an autistic black man. Go away, says Jeff. What's the fixation rate of mutation in gene coding AI programs? Well, in my book, I say that there is mutations being imposed into genetic modification because people don't want to be clones of each other, so they do allow for a certain number of mutations being imposed. I didn't specify in my book what was the rate. If you wanted a rate similar to current humanity, that would be 64 mutations per generation. So maybe we'll do 64 mutations per genome printing, maybe more, maybe less. John Drake says, JF, are you doing a modern day debate next week? They are advertising you coming up. Yes, I'll be on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that's in 2 days from now. I'll be debating Nadir, who believes in the Quran as a scientific miracle. He wants to argue that there are things that are so insightful scientifically in the Quran that they can only come from God. So he has already argued this against me. But he had like six arguments. Now he has six new arguments. So I'm going to address these new arguments again and again. It's like, can you believe this? Can you believe that Mohammed knew this? And I'm like, every time it's the same thing. I show that, yeah, it wasn't just Mohammed who knew this. This was a common thing back in the days. I've shown that Pliny the Elder, 600 years before the Quran was written, knew already about the scientific revelations that Muhammad had. So obviously they are not scientific revelations. They are just relatively common knowledge of the time. Dead Star says the joke is that if racism is something like in-group preferences, then European Americans don't come close to the in-group behavior of any other racial group. The black communities in my area are insular and self-preferential, worlds unto their own, and that's not wrong, it's natural. Oh yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the case that white people are certainly not particularly racist. And they, in fact, we may be the only people in which racism is a taboo. Because racism, or the idea of preferring your own race, is certainly not a problem in the Asian dating scene. And in fact, it's not even a problem in the black dating scene. So, no, the preference of your own race is only something to be that is argued should be ashamed. You should be ashamed of if you are white. That is a very sad thing, but it is true. Here we go. The WHO investigates a mysterious respiratory illness very similar to COVID in Argentina. after 3 deaths and 6. And 6-3. I don't know what that means. Can we stop being surprised at respiratory illnesses? It's like it's been going on forever. At this point, can we just... Oh, ill, severe, and 6th ill. Oh, boy. You might have wanted to not put it in capital letters. 6th ill. Okay. Okay, 6th are ill. We have to stop treating respiratory diseases emerging as something surprising. I don't know why they're trying to get people alarmed on a cyclical basis like this. It will keep happening. As long as we have people with lungs, there will be respiratory diseases coming to kill us. There is no solution. All solutions we apply will merely delay in time the evolution of new strands that will then come to kill us. I totally agree with TRP, says Lapitop, in regards to the past, and think you have made a significant contribution to theoretical biology, just to make that clear. Well, again, I thank you for this, but the prediction on the future does not suffer from what you seem to think it suffers from. It is not hard to imagine a competition of gene editing. In fact, when you think about it, it has to happen. Just from the fact that a given gene doesn't advantage you as much as it would advantage an Indian guy, a Japanese guy, an African guy, we will have various benefits in taking various evolutionary directions. A gene may be very good to have in America, may be totally useless to have in Japan. Sensome Communem sends a super chat on entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, good evening, JF. Long time since I've caught you live. Hope you are well, friend. Biden's demonization of MAGA will backfire, and I am from the UK with no skin in the game. God bless. Well, thank you so much, Sensome Communem. I agree with you. The whole aesthetics that Biden deployed may turn against him, because what was motivating people to vote against Trump was that they wanted to be relieved of this kind of aggression that they experienced with Trump, which was an aggression not so much, well, done partly by the character of Trump, but amplified times 100 by the leftist media. So this clash is what they were tired of. Now, if Joe Biden brings back the clash with the hope of reawakening the fear, the problem is that the human brain will not necessarily attribute that fear and that hate toward Trump at this point, because they've seen Joe Biden's face enough to know that he's the one with the hateful rhetoric right now. And he's the one with the reddish hellscape illuminating lights. And so I think, yes, it might very well have some backlash. I think he is talking to his far-left base very well. Okay, I can imagine the LGBT activist in the middle of downtown. That guy may be moved by the speech of Biden. But the average normie cares probably more about the price of gas, that kind of, and the economy, and wants to be reassured that he has a normie president, a reasonable president. And that didn't look reasonable at all. Post Democracy sends a super chat. He says, JF, I'm surprised you continue to support Elon Musk, given he pussied out of buying Twitter. Let's face it, he knew the importance of it, and then he found some ridiculous pretext to scuttle the deal. Maybe he did, but I wouldn't necessarily conclude this. I think there is a possibility that what we're seeing is a strategy to pay less, because in these big deals, it often happens that the legal case being opened allows a leverage of negotiation, and eventually the person ends up doing the purchase, but at a lower price. I don't adore Elon Musk. I don't unconditionally believe in him. But I still think we should hold on to some degree of hope that perhaps it's all a strategy, or perhaps the judge will just force him to buy it, and perhaps it will enable more free speech. Now, it's a lot of perhaps. I'm not here to deceive you that Elon is going to liberate the plebs of the internet, but why not keep an open mind and perhaps the perhapses will align. That's people are treating me like I'm a supporter of Elon Musk sometimes. I'm not a supporter on you'll never hear a supporter of Elon Musk say, as I say, that there is no hope in exploring space, that the entirety of the whole dream of establishing bases on Mars is ridiculous. It's going to fail. We're not going to do interstellar travel. That Elon Musk wants to bring us an absolute vacuum where there is nothing to be exploited by us. You're not going to hear this from an unconditional Elon fan. And there is news that I've seen today and that people are now sharing on the Discord that Twitter has banned Mr. Mittaker's account, Quarantine Coof, just days after Kefals started asking their followers to report it for ban evasion. Yeah, I mean, it's really too bad, Mr. Mittaker ban, but that's why I don't create an alternate account on Twitter. It's not worth it. You're going to direct your audience to a platform that wants to ban you, that wants to hurt your business. So when you get banned from Twitter, don't go there on an alt account. Just abandon Twitter and live the Gab lifestyle. But Mittaker had chosen a different path and was tweeting at Quarantine Coof, and is currently about to die, from my understanding, about to die from cancer. The eternal high schooler, the coolest kid in the school. Very rare that you have a cool kid of the elementary school die from cancer, but this is what is happening with Mr. Mittaker. Deadstar says, if only Musk bought Reddit instead of Twitter. Reminder, for years, the front page of Reddit was run by Ghislaine Maxwell, who bought top mod status with Epstein Bucks. Yeah, there is this theory going around the internet that Ghislaine Maxwell was a big Reddit user, very influential, because she there is a Reddit user that just suddenly stopped and disappeared from Reddit the day Ghislaine Maxwell got brought in jail. It's possible. It's possible. And I've been on Reddit doing AMAs back in the days when I was a scientist, and perhaps it's where Jeff Epstein noted my presence. Perhaps it's why he sent me these 25,000 bucks. Go away, says Elon Musk, Richard Spencer, Kobe Bryant, JF, and Stefan Molyneux. These are the men I look up to in my life, in that order, too. Well, that kind of sucks. You have put me behind Kobe Bryant, but at least I'm above Stefan Molyneux. That is a good one. Go away. Michael Montfort sends 10 bucks on Entropy. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, oh, this is the same message that I've already read on Odyssey, but he was saying, Jeff, I'm surprised you continue to support Elon Musk, given that he pussied out of buying Twitter. He found some ridiculous pretext to scuttle the deal. What is worse, he knew the importance of it. Yeah, it is true that if this is all a play and a troll, it's a very sad troll, because there is definitely a need for free speech on the internet to recover. And it's not something to be played with. However, you never know with Elon Musk, with trolling, with internet culture. You never know how a troll may turn out. You know, just the fact, even if it's just a troll, it would still awaken the idea in people's heart that something must change about free speech on the internet. And that's already a little contribution that you can take positively, you know? This made me laugh so much. Apparently, there's a local war of messaging between McDonald's and Chick-fil-A. We sell crispy chicken sandwiches on Sundays. That's a jab at Chick-fil-A. And look at the Chick-fil-A response. Our ice cream machines are always working. This meme is so hilarious. I love it because I don't know if it's real. Are there real managers of McDonald's insulting Chick-fil-A and managers of Chick-fil-A insulting McDonald's? But it's nice to think of a world in which companies would be less scared of going hard on the public space, you know, yelling at each other, telling each other what's not and what it is. Lapitop says, this vid just got posted by Jared Taylor. Seems interesting. Haven't watched it fully yet. Well, okay. Stop contacting me with incomplete stuff. If you want me to click on a link, you need to know that this link is interesting. Canada might be getting a 1,000 kilometers per hour vacuum tube train, the Transpod. I mean, this could be a joke. This could be a joke. I mean, it's a copy of the Elon Musk Hyperloop, but it's called the Transpod. Never mind the fact that there's the word trans in the Transpod. There's been arguments on the internet that this whole Hyperloop concept of a vacuum tube transporting a kind of magnetic levitated train is just not a good idea. And I tend to agree. I mean, they say that it would go 1,000 kilometers per hour. It's at the conceptual level, so it's not like it's something we've built already. It cuts down the 3-hour drive from Calgary to Edmonton to 45 minutes. Is it really worth it? I mean, if you do that kind of traveling, is 45 minutes to a 3-hour, is it a problem? I don't think so. And they've raised $550 million, and it's a total $18 billion project. And look, there's 54 passengers and 10 tons of cargo at a time in the Fluxjet vehicles. The problem is, you will spend a lot of energy keeping this tube under vacuum. Just how much electricity does it cost to keep a vacuum tube that's hundreds of kilometers long, that you have to open at certain areas and you have to let people out of the vehicle? So those areas are not vacuum, so you have to have a seal. How does it work in terms of managing the seal, in terms of losing the vacuum when you do have to reclose the seal? I mean, it's complicated. And ultimately, what happens when there's an accident and the vehicle breaches the seal? What happens? Explosions, air being drawn in, people suffocated alive, 54 people just suffocated while breathing vacuum. It's dangerous and it's costly, and all of this for some gain on the aerodynamics of your freaking levitated train. And on top of this, we're talking about levitating massive amounts of weight. I just don't know. It seems to me that it's a dream. Unrealizable. Dead Star says, I super chatted the other day about fatigue and you mentioned antidepressant. I promised I'm not depressed. I was training all summer to do 100 mile bike rides and just hit a wall. I guess my genes aren't going to make it easy for me to accomplish the goal. Oh, well, I did say on that response to your super chat that there's two ways to go about it. Either you consider that it's a natural response of your body, or you consider that it's depression. Of course, you seem to have made a choice. I'm fine with it. I'm not a guy who will pressure you into self-diagnosis. DK Shadow says, we know how to do maglif. That's not the main issue. Well, yeah, I mean, it's the combination of it all, of having a vacuum tube over hundreds of kilometers, of the extreme speed of those, of the fact that there are humans living in that bubble of air inside a wider vacuum. And ultimately, you are holding this in the air for a restricted number of passengers. White House asks Congress for $13.7 billion in additional Ukraine-related funding. This never ends. Stop it. Stop it. Let them lose. Let Ukraine rest in peace. You are torturing them with extra money. And so Zelensky has to make it look like they are counter-offensive, and it's all a mediatic enterprise meant at draining American money to a country that has low standards and corruption. Surprise, stocks tumble after Gazprom completely halts Nord Stream indefinitely due to unexpected leak. And Zero Hedge was joking about saying no one could have seen this coming. I think it was a very likely possibility that Putin would press on the off button switch of gas supply to Europe, exploiting the coming winter, the need for energy, and the increasing frustration of the population with what our leaders have been binding us to. Aaron McIntyre, always very insightful, he says we are probably a while away from formally banning opposition parties, but not that far away from having conservative leanings being a fireable offense at basically any sizable employer. They're a private company. They can do what they want. Am I right? Those in charge no longer understand how to run the machine they inherited. They can no longer cleverly finesse you without drawing attention, without you noticing that the temperature in the pot keeps rising. Even though they have near total control of the country's institutions, they have lost their cloak of invisibility. Fox Power does not want to be seen. Being seen means accountability, and they prefer manipulation. We have been ruled by clever foxes, not strong lions. But the competence of our soft managerial elite has degenerated, and while they control more of the system than ever before, their grasp on power is also more desperate and brittle. When the system was working, you thought you had choices, you believed that you had a voice in the process, and you participated in good faith. Excellent thinker, Aaron McIntyre. I think it's an apt description of the current situation. DK Shadow says, yep, they lost their cloaking device. There have been so much fake cloaking devices, and it's so fascinating, this fascination with creating a cape technology that would somehow film what's behind you and somehow project it onto a cape so that you appear invisible. It's technically very hard. Technically very hard because in principle that would only work if you knew the angle of the observer with respect to you. Because if the observer is there, you have to film what's behind. If the observer is there, you have to film what's there. And so it would need some kind of tubing that directs light. It would be kind of like a TV-like surface, but that can display one thing here, one thing here, and then maybe we would get to the invisibility cloak. Private school diversity director, BIPOC students must be protected from white gay. The director of diversity and inclusion for a private school in Baltimore expressed support for racial segregation in order to protect students from the white gaze and promoted turning children into woke activists. I guess we're going to have a warning at the beginning of my show. As you watch this show, you may be exposed to white gaze. Please be advised. Yeah, it seems that we have gone full circle. We're back to, okay, so segregation was good because it was protecting black people from white gay. Greps Koda has misunderstood. He says white gaze. No, not gaze. White gaze. The gazing of the eye. The looks. Politicization of the pandemic intensifies. Brazilian researchers' data seized by federal police. So there was this guy studying the effects of ivermectin on COVID. Maybe not ivermectin, proxalutamide. So basically some medication, and the federal agents in Brazil just went in and seized all of his data. Apparently it was considered too dangerous to find potentially other medication than the official ones. Maybe there's no profit to be made from that drug or something like this. Or maybe they suspect him of fraud. I don't know. Night King says, JF, you could make the cloak independent of the observer's position by using a 360-degree camera and a curved screen that projects in all directions what is opposite to the observer. Well, that's what I was describing, a tube screen that for every pixel can project different things at different angles. But that's not obvious to make. I think the technology kind of exists. I think there are some screens that you can experience different images depending on the angle. But how many angles would you need before you can reach a resolution that looks good to the eyes? It may be impossible. Simply because if you start making devices that direct light to different angles, you need some kind of tubing, and that tubing will be long, and that length may make your screen mostly black. So I don't know if that's possible. Perhaps using prism. Dino Legovic says, use prism like solar panel optimizers. That sounds like a possibility. If you had a prism that can direct the light in various directions, but it would have to direct different lights. It's a tough challenge of engineering. Spindly Opinion says, a top-down invisibility cloak is easier for tricking drones. Yeah, that way you know the sense that you have to film and project. You have to check out Con Camo Camouflage. It's so insanely good, but it's expensive. Con Camo Camouflage. Camouflage made in Germany. Okay, well, this looks like what I saw on many soldiers, and is it Con Camo though? Okay, no. Let's see. Con Camo. It's long to load. They don't have a particularly good website, but they have. I was waiting for the website to load, but I didn't realize maybe their website is camoed. Maybe I'm looking. The camouflage is so good. The camouflage of Con Camo is so good. You cannot even see it on their website. I mean, do you see anything? That's because Con Camo is the best camouflage there is. Con Camo, it works. Well, okay, but show me something. Holy shit. No, it's just the camouflage is so good, you cannot see images of it. It's like, it's totally camouflage with the gray background. I'm not kidding you, it's not loading. That's just how good the camouflage is. Whistleblower liar. FBI agents have lost confidence in Director Wray. Well, we don't care about FBI agents. It's you're not a democracy, okay? You don't choose who is your boss. Now, Director Wray, I don't know to what extent he's trustable. He's been named by Trump, apparently, but has said in power and as officially sworn in 1 month ago under Biden. Sidurak told the paper that FBI agents have told him they've lost confidence in FBI Director Christopher Wray. All Wray does is go in and say, we need more training and we're doing stuff about it, or we will not tolerate it. Okay, what else do you want from your boss? You want your boss to be more politically biased, less politically biased? I don't know what's their claim, ultimately. Over 40% of Americans think civil war likely within 10 years, and this will be our last news item for today. Over 40% of Americans think civil war is at least somewhat likely in the next decade, which increases to more than half among self-identified strong Republicans, according to a YouGov economist survey. Well, this survey, we see it happen again and again, and it's a pretty stable observation, although somewhat rising. But it's not surprising when you see a speech like the speech of yesterday from Joe Biden. It has the looks and the feels of a government that says we're going to go after you. And we are, in a way, in a civil war. From the perspective of those people who went to the January 6th protest, they have been targeted by their government. From the perspective of the people who suffer from interventions in their private lives by this government, we're already in a kind of war. So, not surprising, and somewhat connected to reality. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love to everyone. Thank you so much for your support. And if you'd like to support the show on a monthly basis, join the Subscribestar or the Patreon. That is it for tonight. Bye-bye, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.